And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's going to be very challenging. Our DDD, first opening out of the gate, it's called The Setting, which is the place we're going to set the whole thing up. The next segment we're going to go to is His Story, Our Story. Ooh. We're going to wind it around the corner with What's the Problem? And close it all out with Job's wig.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics. I think we've done enough politics today. Thank you. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. You got to take a short break, then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The State Department says the president's threats aimed at North Korea are not inconsistent with diplomacy.
State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert says there's nothing alarming in President Trump's threat to unleash fire and fury on North Korea over its nuclear provocations. She says Secretary of State Rex Tillerson sees the statement as a response in kind.
Look, the president is sending a strong message to North Korea in the kind of language that North Korea understands.
Nauert says Tillerson spoke to the president for about an hour after his statement. She says Trump is on the same page as the rest of the government and the rest of the world, she says, is in agreement about the threat posed by Pyongyang's nuclear weapons development. I'm Warren Levinson.
FBI agents have searched the home of President Trump's former campaign chairman.
A spokesman for Paul Manafort says the agents served a search warrant at Manafort's home, adding that Manafort cooperated with the agents as he has quote-unquote consistently done. Manafort has been the subject of a long-standing FBI investigation into his dealings in Ukraine and worked for that country's former president, Viktor Yanukovych. Special Counsel Robert Mueller also is investigating Manafort as part of his probe in the Russia's meddling in the 2016 election and any possible collusion with Trump associates. Manafort has denied any wrongdoing. Mike Hempen, Washington.
French officials say the police have arrested a man in the search of a driver who slammed his BMW into soldiers in a Paris suburb, injuring six of them in what appeared to be a carefully timed ambush before speeding away. The driver's motive is unclear, but officials say that he deliberately aimed at the soldiers, and counterterrorism authorities have opened an investigation. None of the soldiers have life-threatening injuries. Interior Minister Gérard Collomb says that as of August 6th, intelligence services have foiled seven attacks so far this year. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 37 points. This is SRN News.
AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-725-1616 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-725-1616. That's 800-725-1616. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins shared his thoughts on how young men are no longer ready to join the military.
General Boykin and I often talk about this, that until you've been basically gotten your nose smashed, you really don't have a grip on what life is all about. And this is my beef with these zero tolerance policies. Now, before you start sending emails, I am not for physical violence. I'm just saying, look, kids are kids, okay? They do a little pushing, do a little shoving, and it's much better that kids deal with things the way kids deal with, and then they're corrected by their parents, and they're taught how to handle aggression and not how to handle aggression, instead of just letting it become pent up until they go and they get a gun and they come back and commit a mass murder at their school or something like that.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Probably should tell you a couple things. KPRZ.com, that's the website. Did you not know that's the website? That is the website for KPRZ, KPRZ.com. Also, the KPRZ Facebook page, and they are doing the increase now. We have seen some steady numbers going up on people participating in the club, and I've already told you, when they get to a certain point in the club, they have the authorization to then give away free stuff. And everybody likes the giving away free stuff, but you can't get there to get a certain amount because that's how it works in the corporate world. That's the way it goes. I'm just telling you. So as best you can, you either go to KPRZ.com or the KPRZ Facebook page, sign up for the club, be a part of it. And if you get to too many notices, and send somebody an email saying too many notices, just tell them what's going on. Be right and true and faithful. All right. David Spoon at KPRZ.com is the email. Hisappointment.com. If you have a hard time with anything going on that's a major in life and you're trying to figure out why the Lord let you go through it, and I'm hoping that this actual review we do right now will also contribute to that. Right? All right. This is called, do we have a sound for this? This is a no sound. Well, this is called The Setting. So I want to talk to you about the book of Job. Oh, wait, there is no book of Job. Same thing I used to do when I did the pulpit. I'd be in the pulpit and I go, turn to the book of Hezekiah. And everybody's turning to Hezekiah. Why? Because Hezekiah is a king in Israel. But it's not a book in the Bible. So I want to talk to you about the story of Job just briefly, but I want you to understand the connections. First of all, we know as we read scripture that Job was blameless. Blameless does not mean the way where it says blameless and it says in the King James perfect. That's not the perfect as in no sin. Sorry, wrong word. He was blameless, upright. He feared God. He shunned evil. He was wealthy. He was married. He had 10 kids. That's a lot of work. He was considered one of the greatest men in the East. Could be financially and otherwise. Consistently aware of God. The guy had a great history and a great reputation, and he was doing great. You know, some people seem to go through and have not a difficult time, And then that's going to change for him kind of in a hurry, as you know, because there's this moment between the Lord and between Job, between God and between Satan, where they're talking about Job. Now, it is important to note that Job does not know the conversation is taking place between Satan and the Lord. Here's what it says in Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming around the earth and walking on it." Kind of like he's stuck there, you get it? And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there's no one like him on earth. A blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Now, let's just stop right there and understand something. Satan and God are having a conversation. You can say, you can come up with every theological twist you don't like. Nobody cares. Satan and God are having a conversation. And God brings up Job. Hey, you consider this guy? Listen, Job, he's stellar. What is God doing? Well, in a sense, he's bragging. He's like, "Eh, is this guy great or what? This guy's fantastic." Well, look at his qualifications here. I mean, if you considered him, he's blameless, he's upright, fears me, turns away from evil. So Satan is like not happy about the way the conversation's going. That's pretty evident. And Satan answers the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side?" You know what a hedge is? That's that little protective plant, or the hedges that protect the territory. Well, God has a hedge around Job. Job's fearing God. Job's doing good. He's doing a great job. Satan's like going, "I can't get in there. You got a hedge there." Like, wow, he's got this hedge around Job. That's fantastic. And so Satan, you know, literally he's just dropping a challenge. He said, "You get rid of that house. And take his house, all that he has, and you got him all blessed in all these different directions. If you take all his possessions, put your hand against him, touch him, he'll curse you. You take that hedge away from God, he's going to curse you." Do you know what the argument was? The argument was, if things are going good, God will get praise. But Satan goes, "But as soon as things are going bad, you're going to be cursed. If it goes good, you thank God. If it goes bad, you complain." Here's the problem, by the way, with you and I complaining when we're going through our situations. We might be in the middle of one of these. We might be in the middle of God bragging about us. All right, I'll take my hand away. God thought that Job was up to the challenge. And in the beginning, he was. Satan comes crashing down on him. I mean, crashing down. But the only stipulation God said is you can't hurt him personally, physically. And so Satan takes everything, takes his finances, takes his wealth, takes his kids, disaster after disaster. What's his response? Job gives this response. He arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, worshipped, and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." His response was, "Go God." I don't know what's going on, but go God. And that works. And Satan comes back at again. You did this little bet with me. It wasn't really a bet, but it was a challenge. And he's like, "Yeah, well, you told me I couldn't touch him. Let me touch him now." Skin for skin, Satan says in chapter 2. A man will give all he has for his own life. Stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones. He'll surely curse you to your face, the Lord said to Satan. Very well, then. He's in your hands, but you must spare his life. God is doing another challenge with Job. That poor guy doesn't even know what's going on. He's in the middle of a universal challenge between Satan and God. And now the ante has gone up, because this is now his existence as he understands it. And he's like, "Okie dokie, I'm going to lay my hand on him." God goes, "Everything, but you got to spare his life." So he goes after Job's physical life. And it's bad. And his wife's like, "Curse God and die." Keep in mind, nobody ever talks about Job's wife. She had 10 kids that died. That's not good. She's bumming. So she's like, curse God and die. How can you hold your integrity? Chapter 2, verse 10. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Doing great. He's doing fantastic. He's proving God right. Until chapter 3, verse 1, which is like five verses later. All the way through to chapter, 32 or 31. So from chapter 3 to chapter 31, Job goes down the other side of the hill. But in the beginning, he stands firm and he stands strong. And that's the setting of the situation. That there's something going on between Satan and God that Job doesn't know about. And Satan is attacking him. He's attacking his life and his existence and everything he's got. And the Lord's like, yeah, you can do that. And then he's attacking his flesh. And his wife's like, oh, this is ridiculous. Come on, we can't keep taking this. And then Job's like, no, you cannot accept good things from God and not bad things. It doesn't work that way. You got to take it whatever the Lord gives you. And that was his position, and he did great right to that point. Right to there. And that's you and me, right to there. Oh, no, doing great. Afterwards, chapter 3 to 31, kind of a different Job emerges. A little time settles in, a little bitterness settles in, a little disappointment settles in. And when we come back, we're going to look at that type of response and if it really applies to us. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
According to the journal Translational Psychiatry, more than 36% of teen girls in America are depressed or have had a major depressive episode. The study found more than 13% of boys have had the same experience. This is truth itself. Research shows that the rates for depression and anxiety were much lower during the Great Depression, World War II, and the turbulent 1970s than they are today. Mental health issues are spreading like wildfire on college campuses, too. Ohio State, for example, reports a 43% jump in students seeking mental health counseling in the last 5 years. It appears something is robbing young people of happiness and well-being. There are several possibilities, including family dynamics, such as divorce and single parenting. Not having a mom and dad at home can be very hard on young people. But Eric Metaxas, writing in ChristianHeadlines.com, thinks the issue goes deeper. Metaxas writes, somewhere deep inside, unhappy young people know that they were meant for more, much more, than this world can possibly offer. As Augustine said, thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee. He says C.S. Lewis claimed that there is something beyond mere happiness. He called it joy, something that the Lord uses to draw us to himself. He concludes, perhaps what they need is not more encouragement to be nice, but more opportunities to encounter love himself, who gives them not a list of do's and don'ts, but an invitation to a banquet. How would you describe your health care? The word affordable probably is not the first word that comes to mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE.
You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Where we have been discussing the setting behind Job and his encounter. We've made it very clear that Job, in the very beginning of the process of Job chapter 1 and 2, was the subject of dispute between Satan and the Lord. And the Lord was recommending, exalting in a good way, bragging about Job. The only thing about that story that you and I are aware of that Job wasn't aware of is that you and I are aware of that God and Satan are having a conversation about Job. In other words, we in Scripture get to see this. When it was happening, Job didn't know they were having a conversation. So for the first two chapters, Job does stellar. He does a great job. Again, this is the Lord using one of his instruments, one of his chosen people, to demonstrate and teach. I will say that chapter 3, verse 1 in Job says this: afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Now, from that verse, chapter 3, verse 1, all the way to chapter 31, verse 35, oh, that I had one to hear me. Behold, here is my signature. Let the Almighty answer me and the indictment which my adversary has written. And so now he goes all the way from cursing his birth to challenging God. Okay? We're going to get into how that goes for him in a moment. But I want to ask you a very important question. Does this apply to us? We understand that things are written in Scripture to help us, examples for our learning, but does this, where there are things going on that you can't see, where there are powerful forces at work, does this go on in our lives? The title of this, do we have a sound for this? I don't think we have a sound for this. The title for this is His Story, Our Story. So what do you think the answer is? Does it apply to us? Yes. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, his intent, referring to the Lord, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms. I'm just going to break that down because people don't like to hear it, but it is what it is. His intent was that now through the church, who's the church? You and me, the ecclesia. The manifold wisdom, manifold is a word that means many-sided, which is why I'm a manifold millennialist. The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. What is that? No idea, and neither do you. And when they tell you they know what it is, they don't. This gets into some interpretation when you get into Revelation and you get into the elders and you get into the people bowing, you get into the angels. It's all of that. It's like, well, who knows? Oh, it's definitively this. No, it's not. What we know is that there are some form of authority in some form of ruler in the heavenly realms. They're not God because God is teaching them his wisdom. And he's using us to do it. Ever heard that expression? We've talked about this before. You've ever heard the expression, all the world's a stage? Guess what? You're right. There's nothing you do that is not seen. There is nothing you have ever done, nothing you have ever thought, nothing you have ever touched, nothing you have ever felt that is unknown to God. Ever. Good, the bad, and the ugly. And God knows all of it and uses us to teach his wisdom. Not only does the story of Job apply to us, it explains a lot to us. I was like, wait, something else is going on around here. Now, I'm going to have to take a small detour because I have to, because there is a theology that some people possess that think this: God, everything good; Satan, everything bad. Except that's not what Scripture teaches. And that's not how the process goes. I know it's simple for the mind, but it's just not simple in truth. In Job chapter 2, verse 3, God says to Satan, he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him. So this was God that was allowing that to take place. You can say all you want, well, it wasn't really the Lord. Yes, it was. And in fact, that is not just an Old Testament principle, it's a New Testament principle, because in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus turns to Peter and says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. And so he's asking permission. And you know, the demons had to ask permission to go into the swine. They have to ask. And he had to ask to get past that hedge. Satan had to ask to get past the hedge that was around Job. What people forget is that God said yes. You could sit there all day long and say, well, it's not really God doing it. Well, if God doesn't say yes, it doesn't happen. So that makes no sense. See, the righteousness of Job was probably more in the clarity of the moment than it was in the following portion. When Job says, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? That's probably the most brilliant theological element there is. In fact, just before you get too mad at me, Isaiah 45:7 says, the one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity, I am the Lord who does all these. You can try and take it out of Scripture. There it is, Isaiah 45:7. Isaiah 45:7. Causing well-being and creating calamity, I am the Lord who does all this. The bad theology is in our minds. We keep thinking, well, God doesn't do anything bad. Well, in the ultimate framework, it may not be bad, but he lets adversity and blessing come our way. He lets the blessings and the boo-boos head in our direction. You cannot like it because you like to associate God everything good, Satan everything bad. That's fine, but that isn't even what the story teaches. The story teaches that God lifts his protection to demonstrate the faithfulness of his servant, and the servant wins the argument at the moment. It's just later on he doesn't win that, because later on he doesn't stay there. So when you say, well, no, God doesn't do that. God's the only one that can do that. God's the only one that does allow it. And you think, well, why would God allow me to go through a tough trial? We've talked about that. God allows people to go through trials so that people can learn the validity of their faith. That people can see. God knows what you need to work on, but you need to know what you need to work on. You might be in the middle of a trial and it can involve a whole bunch of things. It can involve God bragging about you. Would you stand up a little taller if it did? Well, it may. It may be God bragging about you. And that's important for us to recognize, that there's more taking place than we see. And that's important. So the setting is with Job, but his story is our story. What he went through, we go through. Ephesians 3:10 links us directly to that same context, as well as other passages. I'm just using that to make it simple. So when we come back, what I want to talk about is what's the problem? Well, there's kind of a large problem, and that's what we want to talk about, because it is our lives that are involved. And so we need to know how to get the right take on this. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Do you happen to know what termites hate? Termites hate heat. So when it gets blistering hot outside, guess where they go? That's right, into your nice, cool house. They ought to be sending you thank you notes. However, my friend Sue Freeze, the termite lady, owner of Ecola, has a patented process called Ecola Heat that turns the tables on termites and kills them. Yes. And Sue, this is just one of your family-friendly alternative methods of killing termites?
That's right, Dave. We use mostly natural, non-toxic solutions that can be more convenient and less costly, along with traditional methods. Call us today for a free inspection so we can determine the best method of eradicating termites in your home and keep them away. First-time customers get $100 off.
Call Ecola, 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS, or termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly.
Not for escrows.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town, or a hurricane strikes, or is the best time perhaps today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Have you seen someone who was destined to change the world? Have you looked in the mirror? San Diego Christian College will educate and inspire you through the truth of Scripture and the development of skills that will prepare you to impact the world. It sounds like a life well lived, and it can be your life if you take the right path. San Diego Christian College is here to help you become culturally and globally involved with personalized one-on-one attention in a Christ-centered, affordable, and convenient setting. You've been wanting to do something meaningful with your life. San Diego Christian College will help, from Christian ministry to business to teaching, from a bachelor's degree in business management to a master's of science in business. San Diego Christian College will help you succeed with affordable and convenient classes both on campus and online. Get your degree on your schedule. San Diego Christian College in Santee near the Trolley Center and online at sdcc.edu. Truth, purpose, impact. San Diego Christian College.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com is a great way to go about that. We have been diving headfirst, no reservation, into Job's life and that life having a connection to our life. We talked about the background in Job, and it's important to understand that there was an engagement between the Lord and Satan. There are some theologians that have come along and said, oh, well, that was all just for a narrative. And they say that about creation, and they say that about all the miracles, and they say that about Jesus raising from the dead, which tells you why those people aren't Christians, right? Not hard. So the setting is simple, that there's a warfare taking place, an invisible warfare that nobody's seeing, let alone Job, who's a follower. Because more of the revelation of Satan came through the New Testament by a hundredfold compared to the Old Testament. And so here, this setting, there's this engagement going on. Job doesn't know about it, and in the beginning does very, very well. He does well enough where God, making his point, wins the conversation or the engagement between Satan and himself. Now, here's the element. After a little bit of time, approximately some say 7 days, then Job's getting a little bit more uptight. So all that should tell you is, just like you and I, we go through a trial, And we might even do really good in the beginning of the trial. In fact, you might do better than you've ever done before. But there are often times if the trial continues or there hasn't been some result or remediation or something, that there may be a chance for some bitterness to kind of settle in, which is something we should all be aware of. Job demonstrates that in chapter 3, verse 1, all the way to chapter 31. Towards the end, where he's telling God he wants to have a showdown, is essentially what he's telling God. So here is what the problem is, because Job's story is our story. And again, we mentioned you got to dump that bad theology that says, oh, God, everything good and everything's just whistles and birdies and lollipops, and Satan's everything bad and tying your gym shoe in a knot and everything like that. And it's like, no. The Lord specifically allows adversity. Some of that adversity comes through Satan. Some of it comes through the world system. The Lord allows it. You see with Satan that he acknowledges that God has a hedge about Job. You see with Jesus acknowledging that Satan is asking to touch Peter. He's got to ask permission.
What's your problem? I said, what's your problem?
That's the problem right there. The problem is there. Play that again. Can you play it again real fast? Go ahead.
What's your problem? I said, what's your problem?
Here's the problem. Job chapter 32, verse 1 through 2. This is for you and I. So these three men stopped answering Job. Remember the guys that were talking to him? Because he was righteous in his own eyes. But Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite of the family of Ram, became very angry with Job for justifying himself rather than God. And there it is. The two sins that we fall into, which is why this story applies to you and I, the two sins we fall into is we're righteous in our own eyes and we justify ourselves instead of justifying God. Those are the things. We're always righteous in our own eyes. We're always right. There's never a time where we're wrong. We're right in our eyes. And you can't get through, and there's multiple people that can give witness to this. The three men stopped answering Job because he was right in his own eyes. There was no point in going on. Nothing's going to come of this. But the bigger problem was that Job was justifying himself rather than God. He was justifying himself and putting the blame on God. Now, I know that people will say, well, I never blame God. And you might not out loud or verbally, but if you hold him in any sense of contempt, even if it's, a brief moment, that would be blaming God. If you think his trial is too much and you complain, that would be blaming God. If you don't think it's fair, that would be blaming God. If you think you've gotten ripped off, that would be blaming God. If you think you're getting the raw end of the deal, that would be blaming God. And anything like that, since God allows everything. This is how it goes. And our justification of ourself as opposed to God is, in all practical theological senses, super dumb. It's just a bad idea. Because God never misses when he is accomplishing something, and we rarely hit, even if we throw a bunch of things. God always does what he does with intent and purpose. His discipline is so good that the best parent on earth cannot parent as good as God. Can't be done. And in his process, he's the one that needs to be justified. It needs to be the acknowledgement of the quality of God in every conversation. I really kind of disagree with people. Well, you can never really get mad at God. I get mad and I apologize and repent. But I am human and I have sin in me. And I work through it and I do better sometimes than other times. I guess it depends on all the stuff that's going on. But the problem is, if I'm righteous in my own eyes and I'm justifying myself instead of God, then there's no getting through to me. That's a problem. Now, here's God's response, which is scary because I have never had this happen to me. But I see it in Scripture. His response. So after it's known that Job is righteous in his own eyes and he's justifying himself, not God, now God has a response. Because remember, Job in chapter 31 said, boy, if God was right here, I would state my case. Which is like, wow, did you really just say that? I mean, it's one thing to go, okay, I'm mad and I need to change that. It's nothing to say I'm mad and I would like a court case right now with God. Job 38, verse 1 through 5. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of a storm. He said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? So God's response to Job in this situation, I think, is just scary. Because God doesn't just speak and there's flowers and butterflies. He speaks out of a storm. And then he says this weird thing that is, you know, hard to hear. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you. You will answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Like, I wasn't born yet. that's my line. Where were you when I put together this universe and all the other multiverses and put all this stuff together, hung the stars out there, put the planets up? Where were you when I did all that? And it's God says, who are you to obstruct and obscure my plans with you speaking? You don't even know anything. Like, oops. I think this is a straight up, what's the problem? The problem is we're righteous in our own eyes and justifying ourselves and not God. And then God's response is straight up, you're too dumb to even talk to me. Like, wow. And you think, well, that, you know, that's not very loving. Oh, no, I think that's very loving. As a parent, when my 3-year-old child tries to tell me the ways of the universe, that's pretty much the time I'm not listening. Right? They don't know enough. And that's how it is between us and God. I know commentators and comedians think they know everything. They're just as dopey as everybody else. Whether they have a degree, 2 degrees, 10 degrees, whether you call them Dr. Fahrenheit because they got so many degrees, they don't know anything. 1 second, 1 millisecond, God could shut it all down or could just stop everything. People would be like, uh-oh. And so this situation is, this setting is similar to ours. Job's story is our story without a doubt. And the problem is that we self-justify instead of justifying God and recognizing that he's so far above. And then we miss the quality of God. And so you serve a God who's less than quality because he's a God that we have envisioned in our box. That's kind of sad. So when we come back, we'll take an extra minute or so when we come back, we're going to talk about Job's wig. If that doesn't catch your interest, I don't know what will. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
There's always a moment of truth where I say, look, it's either put up or shut up. And it was time to put up. I had crossed that thin line. It was 100 plus degrees. We were hot. We were on fire. We were yelling our hearts out. You could feel the intensity rising. Even in our tiredness, even in our weakness, even in our pain, we continued to push. I told myself, you can suck up the pain for another mile and a half, and you will be a Marine. Not many people believe that I could do it. I don't know where I got the energy from. I don't know where the pain went to. But all I know is that I had what it took
I am a United States Marine.
PFC Darrell Willis serves his country as a Marine. Will you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
All right, it's David James. My friend, Sue Freeze, the termite lady from Ecola, is here. And Sue, you were just telling me that allergies and termites have something in common?
Dave, if you have a problem with termites in your home, but also suffer from allergies and chemical sensitivity, we offer an array of termite control services that will be able to solve your problem without putting your health at risk. Our Ecola heat process uses extreme heat instead of chemicals to kill and remove termites and any other pests that may be infesting your home.
Yes, and you were telling me about the awesome electro gun treatments. It sends electricity through the wood, and you use it as part of your termite control services?
They're very effective. So if you are concerned with your health and are sensitive to chemicals, know that we have an array of options for termite control.
Don't sacrifice your health or the health of your home. Call Ecola Termite Pest Control Services now. 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS or termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Hope in my heart you're getting something from this challenging all of us, I think, to look at Job's life, watch and look at the setting, see how his background is not that different from your background and my background in the sense of the trial that he went through, then recognizing, as Scripture points out, what the problem is, which ultimately comes down to being righteous in our own eyes and not justifying God, but justifying ourselves. So I wanted in this very last segment to talk about Job's wig. You like that? He's got a wig. No, it's not the 1600s or 1700s. I've mentioned this before, and I think it's really, really important. And, you know, there's times where I'll do dumb things, and my wife will do dumb things, and then we'll do dumb things and, you know, have a tough time trying to figure out what's going on. If we remember to wear our wigs, we do a better job. Here's Job's wig. The same wig that you and I need to put on. Romans chapter 9, verses 22 and 23. Here is what it says. What if God, comma. All right, I can actually stop there because I don't really have to say anything else. If you just in your own life say, what if God, fill in the blank. What if God wanted to do this, that, whatever, create this, that, whatever, allow this, that, whatever. There's nothing anybody can say. What if God, W-I-G, wig. What if God, although choose, now look at this passage, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath prepared for destruction. So what the scripture is saying is, what if God chose the people that were going to receive his wrath? What if he gave them great, poured on them great patience? Even though they're going to be destroyed, he showed great patience. And then verse 23 says, what if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in advance. So, for example, God is patient with object one for the sake of object two. Object one are those that are set up for destruction. God is patient with them simply to show those who are chosen through mercy, object two, that he's patient. God uses the example on others to teach us. And we don't know how it all revolves, but we do know this. The question we ask is, why did God allow this to happen? And it's because he wants to show us his patience and his love, even though we don't get it when we first see it. It's a wig. What if God? And eventually Job figured out, boy, I was missing this altogether. And that happens to you and I a lot. We'll go through a trial and we'll think we know and we think we have a handle on it, whatever the case may be. And the trial has such depths, so many threads, so many elements that we're like, ay. And we think we know what's going on. God's moving at levels we could never understand, continually teaching us from things long ago, things current, and things yet to the future. And he demonstrates that he is in charge. And all that you go through, if you said every time, and I don't, but if I did, I'd be a much more successful Christian. If I said, well, what if God's doing this? What if this is all the Lord? Well, it's a terrible trial, Dave. Why would God allow terrible trials? We've covered that 5 times in this hour and 5,000 times in 5 years. The Lord teaches us through adversity, strengthens our faith, shows us what we're made of, knows what we're made of, needs to show it to us because we don't know. So in all of this, what if God allowed it for a reason you don't know? What if God allowed something to happen that you don't understand anything about? Eventually, he will teach you. But it doesn't give us a right until he does to become bitter. And in the beginning, Job did good. But in time, that bitterness grew. And in time, he became self-righteous and didn't justify God. And that's what happens to us. A lot of us. And it happens at home. It happens with family. It happens with husband and wife. It happens with the kids. It happens with the parents. It happens with the siblings. It happens at work. It happens in church. It happens everywhere. And what if God allowed it? He's like, well, gosh, God, the Lord would never allow something bad to happen in a church. Right, so when God allowed the persecution of the early church, I guess God wasn't the one who allowed that. Oh, wait, what was the result of the persecution of the early church? The gospel spread throughout the world. Not only did God allow it, he ordered it. You're telling me he ordered those people to go after Christians? Yes. So the gospel would spread. It's like, oh, that's just too hard. Oh, well, that's why we're called to have this thing called trust. The Lord would never allow something that had no purpose. And don't start with, he'll never allow me to go through something I can't handle. Because yes, he will, just so you will be fully dependent on him. Of course he will. That's not the issue. The issue is, can we take enough pause to say, well, what if God is doing this? What if some of this is all in the mix? At the worst, it will give us a pause to think, maybe I'm not catching something. Maybe something else is going on. At the best, it'll open up our mouth for praise, thanking God in all things, because ultimately all things work together for good. But it's a long way to grow up. From where we start to where we want to be. I think being honest about that's a good idea. I think recognizing that we need to put a wig on is a good idea. We need to have an attitude that says, what if God? Because he can step in and be doing something even if we don't get it. Often he is. Now you think, well, why would all of this stuff happen?
Here's the best answer in the world. Ready? Because he loves you. And you think, I don't get it. I know. I mean, that's not like I get God. Well, I get everything about God. No, you don't. I don't. You don't. We get these glimpses. We get these little bits and pieces where we understand. But that's not the full comprehension of everything he is and exists in, or he wouldn't be God. Listen, what if God, just throw it in your vocabulary for trials that you go through to help you endure a little bit better? That's all. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.